Well, good morning, everybody. I'm on. All right. It's good to see everybody out here this morning. We're going to continue, Lord willing, over in the book of Psalm 123. Psalm 23. We've made it down to verse number 5. And maybe not too much longer. We'll finish this up. But we're just going to read the passage again this morning, just to catch us up where we're at. So Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Verse 5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so we've looked at several different things here that stand out in the passage. We've seen David's submission to his shepherd and the sufficiency of the shepherd and the supply of the shepherd. And we've seen the sovereignty of the shepherd in verse number 3 and the security that we find in the shepherd there in verse number 4. But in verse number 5, what I find here is the substance of the shepherd. And what I find in my personal life with the Lord, and it goes for personally here in my life, for my family's life, for our church, no matter when it is, the Lord is exactly what we need.
Oh, sure, brother.
And so when I say His substance, He's everything.
Faith.
And whatever your problem is, He's what you need. And I'm thankful that we've got a one-stop, I would say shop, but I don't even have to shop.
Right.
But a one-stop stop.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
A one-stop place to get whatever I need. Brother Jerry, whether it's at church, whether it's at home, whether it's on the job, whether it's for being a daddy, no matter what it is. And happy Father's Day, by the way. We've got a good Heavenly Father, amen? So I'm happy about my Father. But no matter what it is, He's what we need. And so that's what I see here in this verse number 5. I'll just read that again. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." So I want to, we'll just go through this a little by little and look at it and see what it says. So the first thing that I notice is that we're still in the same tense, I guess, or person of discussion. You know, David is still speaking directly to the shepherd. You notice that. So when he talks and he starts this verse, he says, "Thou." So you remember in verse number 1 through 3 how that David was speaking in what we would call third person, and he used the term "he" or "the shepherd" or "the Lord." But when we came to verse number 4, which I said I felt like is probably the climax of the passage, he changes that way, that person that he's talking, and he quits talking to everyone and quits talking to the reader, and he focuses on the shepherd. And so we get to see some special things about the shepherd, Brother Jerry, when he's focusing and talking directly to him. And so we found last time, the last verse, that he felt the security of his shepherd. But notice right here in verse 5, he says, "Thou preparest." So he's talking directly to the Lord, and he's recognizing that God, the Lord Jesus, is preparing something for him. And so I want you to notice that God, no matter what we find Him doing, He is never unprepared. And, you know, I said this last week, there's nothing that ever catches God off guard. And nothing ever occurs to our God.
Right.
And so was it any surprise to the Lord that David at this time would be looking at him in the presence of his enemies? No. And so what this tells us is when thou preparest, that word prepare means to set in order, to make ready, or to provide. And all I know is that while David was talking about all these other things, God was in the midst and he was preparing something.
Sure.
And he knew that David had enemies to face. And so in the presence of his enemies, God was preparing something and he was preparing a table. But so we see the preparation of God. And sometimes what we fail to realize in our life, and I know personally, sometimes I step back and I think, God, I know that you're doing something, but I can't see it. I don't know what it is. And every time I have those thoughts, and even when I, you know, was reviewing and going back through this passage, I just can't help but think of Psalm 139 and Job 23 and those passages, how that we know that no matter what we're going through, that God's presence is real. And we'll just read those. Go to Psalm 139. Maybe you're here and you need to hear this. We won't spend much time here, but I just want you to be reminded. Psalm 139, we'll just read verse 7 through 10. It says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there. And now that's wonderful that his presence is there. But it's not just that he's present. But notice in the latter part here, verse 10, he says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So what I realize is that whether we realize it or not, God's hand is working. And I encourage you to read the rest of this passage. It's beautiful. It's a great consolation that we have in knowing that God's presence is so real and that it's there whether we see it or not. But now David recognized the presence of God. But if you go back to the previous book in Job 23, as we read oftentimes, 23 verse 8, it says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So what we know is that in spite of our perspective, Kyle, whether we can see him or whether we can't, that doesn't stop the fact that he's still working and he's making preparation. And we're blessed in the sense that we can know that and take such sweet peace in knowing that he's doing something at all times. And he doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber like you and I, friends. And I'm thankful that when I'm sleeping, God's still working.
Oh, yeah.
And there's work to be done and the Holy Ghost is doing it. And I just appreciate that. I appreciate knowing that he's doing something. And so no matter what situation we're in, God is moving, God is working. And whether we're in danger or we're confused or we're troubled or we're distressed or perplexed, whether there's chaos, sickness, uncertainty, and you're thinking, God, where are you? Guess what? He's right there in the midst of it.
Yep.
And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, if you believe the Bible, you just need to believe it.
Right.
So I'll read a little passage here that's real familiar in Romans chapter 8, just as a reminder. Just as a reminder, Romans chapter 8, we'll just read a couple verses right here. Romans 8:35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? So I want to stop there and just remind everybody, when we're talking about the love of Christ,
yes,
Kevin, we're not talking about me telling you that I love you.
Right, brother.
We're not talking, Nathaniel, you looking at Misty and saying, I love you.
What we're talking about is not a feeling.
Right.
And that's one of those things that we forget in our society, because the truth is love means so little to us.
Yes.
We use love in such a sporadic way, but we just throw love on everybody. We love on everybody, right? I love you. You love me. I love the people I work with. I love my kids. But I also love a ribeye steak,
yep.
Right? You all understand what I'm saying. We are so familiar with that phrase, that term, love. Now, we do understand it means different things, because I love my wife differently than I love a ribeye steak. Everybody would agree with that, right?
Sure.
And I hope you feel that way in your home. But so when we're talking about who shall separate us from the love of Christ, you got to remember that love that Christ has for us is a love that works.
Yes.
It performed action. You remember, if we go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, when he said, "Husbands, love your wives, even also as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it."
Yes.
We'll not go back to that study from a few years ago, but just as a reminder, the love that he's talking about here in Romans chapter 8 is a love that is doing something. And in this case, his love is just holding us close and letting us know that he is near, and telling us there's nothing that can separate us from the love that he has for us. And so we'll read the rest of that. It says, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so we can take great pleasure and comfort in knowing that he loves us. And Doug, that's not just words. It is not words to God, and I hope you understand that. It's not just words. But he's demonstrated it over and over again. And so I'm thankful for that. But so no matter what situation we're in, I want you to understand that God is working and he's making preparations for you, especially if you're a child of his, if you're a saint of God. God has purpose for everything that's going on in your life. And back up with me, the same chapter, chapter 8 of Romans, back up in verse 26. We know it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Now, I'm not so much wanting to point out the intercession of the Holy Ghost, but I'm thankful for that. But what I want to point out to you about this passage is that you don't know what you need.
That's right.
And in spite of the fact that you don't know what you need, he knows what you need.
Yes.
And so that's the blessing and the comfort that we have. And I'm going somewhere. I just want you to understand that God is not, there's never a time that God is not doing something.
Yes.
And so as we read on, he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate."
Right.
To what?
To be conformed. Yes,
to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. "Moreover, whom he did foreknow, them he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified."
Right.
Sounds like a lot of work to me.
Oh, yeah.
I needed a lot of work and you did too. Oh,
yeah.
And so in order to get us conformed to the image of his dear Son, guess what? There's a lot of preparation that had to be made.
Yes.
Now, that preparation, as we said a week or so ago, when it got real good, he was preparing that before the foundation of the world.
That's
right. So when I testified the other day and said, "I'm thankful I'm not afterthought, I had all this in my mind," thinking, man, he's been preparing that a long time.
Yes,
he started sometime in eternity past to prepare me for sometime in eternity future.
Yep.
And what a blessing. just to know that He's preparing and He has a purpose. So the Spirit's interceding on our behalf according to the will of God. That's not according to your will, not according to my will, but according to His will. And so you say, well, why in the world am I here? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Well, it might be His will. There's a very good possibility He has you where He has you for His will. I'll give you some examples in a minute. So He's working all things together for our good. Does that mean every little thing's going to be good? Absolutely not. Chris, there's times in my life there's been some real bad things that's happened. I think, Lord, I don't know how anything good can come out of this. But years later, turn around and look. I think, Lord, I see how You brought about some good things based on what happened then. So it takes time. It takes time sometimes. And sometimes we may not even know in this life what all good things God was doing. So He's conforming us to the image of His Son. I already said the first verse, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. But as Christ loved the church, what was His purpose? Kevin quoted it the other day. He's going to present us to Himself. A glorious church. So everything that we're going through right now is, as in Romans put it, conforming us to the image of His Son. And it's making us to be that spotless, without blemish, presentation for Himself as the bride of Christ.
That's right.
So everything that we're dealing with is to conform us to what we are supposed to be. Same thing, Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Right? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Think something like that. Romans 12, maybe verse 2 or something like that. Verse 3. Something. But God is working. And don't ever fool yourself. Don't ever let the devil fool you into thinking that God is doing nothing. Because He's always working. And hopefully you can find good consolation in that. And so we're thinking about the preparation of God. And I want you to flip over with me to Genesis chapter 45. I just want to give you a couple examples of some things that God was doing and preparing for that people didn't even realize at the time. Genesis 45, this is Joseph, and by this time, Joseph is basically royalty. And he's second only to Pharaoh. And if you know the story, his brothers have sold him into slavery. He's been down in prison. He got lied on. I mean, he's been mistreated. He's been in a mess. But by the time you get to chapter 45, God has brought him about to a purpose. And that everything that happened in his life had got him to this point. And so we read in Genesis 45, verse 4, it says, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither." You notice that? Real easy for us to think that man did everything, right? And even though God used these men and allowed their sin to bring about this, notice what Joseph is recognizing here. He says, "Neither be grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither." He said, "For God did send me before you to preserve life."
That's right.
Now, I don't know how God does what He does, but what I do know is God literally used the sin of these individuals, Brother Joe. You all agree, if you know the story, that those men were doing some wicked things. But yet He used that, Brother Jerry, to bring about to pass something for His greater good, His greater will. Did God force them to sin? Did God tempt them with sin? No, sir. The Bible said God does not tempt people with evil. So, how does God do that? Well, you have to ask somebody a lot smarter than I do. I am. I don't know how He does what He does. I just know He does. I'm thankful for it. So we keep reading. He says, "For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, And yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Man, it's so interesting to me that the people that basically took Joseph's life, God used Joseph to save their life.
That's right.
Ain't that something? I mean, that's just a blessing. But and we all know that Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope everybody realizes that. So now it was not for you, notice, so it was not for you that he sent me hither, but God. Or so it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father of Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. He says, Joseph could have been, would everybody agree, Joseph could have been angry. He could have been, I mean, he could have had these guys killed in a heartbeat, wiped off the face of the earth. But what Joseph was he was godly enough that he recognized that in spite of these men's sin, God had a greater plan.
That's right.
And he cared more about God's plan than he cared about his brother's plans. And so he finally recognized right here, once he started seeing these dreams and understanding what was going on, and God raised him to power there, I'd say it all started clicking, wouldn't you? And then when his brother showed up, I imagine he just started putting all these puzzle pieces together from years past, saying, Lord, I know why I'm here now. I know why I'm in this place. But now, before that, when he was down there in the prison, when he was being lied on in Potiphar's house, what about when he was down there in the pit? You reckon he put all this together? Now, there were some dreams in his past. He didn't understand all of it, though, I don't think. He didn't know how all it was going to come about. But God put all this together. He worked all things together for good to them that love God, them that are the called according to his purpose. He did that for Joseph. He did it for the children of Israel.
Yes.
And guess what? He'll do it for his children.
Hey.
And we can know and be comforted that all that time, all those things that Joseph was going through, it was all in preparation to get him right here to this place. And so he recounts that again. We see another account of it in Genesis 50. If you want to read that with me, you can, just a couple pages over. 50 verse 18. It says, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Man, I appreciate Joseph, don't you?
Yes.
I appreciate, ain't you glad God put stories like this in our Bible? We could just not know about this, but we know about it. Why did God tell us about this stuff? For our learning, for our benefit, so we'd understand the character of God. So there's Joseph. What about Jonah? What about Jonah? Everybody remember Jonah? Jonah got swallowed by a whale. He got told to go down and preach to a people that he hated. He told to go down there and preach to Nineveh. He said, not me. You got the wrong guy for that job. I'm going somewhere else. But God had made some preparation.
That's right.
Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, fish like no other fish. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish. How long? 3 days. 3 nights. Now, we could limit this preparation to just the story of Jonah, and it would be good. The thing was, when all this was going down, guess what was happening in the mind of God? God was not just thinking about Jonah.
That's right.
He was not just thinking about, I'm preparing a fish to swallow up Jonah. But Jerry, he was thinking about his dear son.
All this was coming to pass. Brother Delmer, Jonah was sinning. He was sinning. He was rebelling against God. But the whole time he was doing it, God had in mind, I'm going to use this.
That's right.
I'm going to use your rebellion. And I'm going to bring about a picture of my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, what in the world are you talking about? Well, if you go to Matthew 12, you can find out. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Matthew 12, verse 38. Says, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was what? 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. Don't let anybody ever tell you it's not a whale. Jesus himself said it was a whale. Whale's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And now you can go on and read the rest of that. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. So what we realize is that, man, did Jonah going down to Joppa, did that take God by surprise? There is nothing that you or I or anybody else does that ever, ever takes God by surprise.
Right.
The worst sin that a saint will ever do never took God off guard.
Right.
Never surprised God. We act, Nathaniel, like we act like sometimes the things that we do, we've surprised the Lord with it. He knew you was going to do it before you ever thought it. Do you ever consider those things? We forget about the character of God. We forget who He really is.
You're right.
And if we'd ever get it in our mind who He really is, guess what it'd do? It'd change the way we live. He recognizes the way that we take. Man, He knows. He knows your thoughts before you think them. Man, if we would realize who He really was and how He's preparing everything, I mean, we get in perspective. God lets us be a lot more than we deserve to be. All we should be is dirt, dust. That's what we are. We should be some little pawns down here that He moves to bring about exactly what He wants. That's what we should be. And that's what some people believe, that that's all we are. But what I know from Scripture is that God is more powerful than just needing us to be pawns.
That's right.
He is so powerful, Joe, and so sovereign that He can let those little pawns have a free will to operate and make decisions and make failures and learn to love Him. And He teaches them how He loves them.
Yes.
All that going on. But yet He has a purpose, and He has a plan, and He orchestrates and allows us to move in amongst that and let us do what we want to for the most part. Now, obviously, there's times He prepares a great fish because He's got that purpose. And He intervenes and steps in and says, no, you're not doing that.
Right.
There are times He intervenes in my life and your life, and He puts a barrier up and says, that's it. You're not going any farther. That's what He did for Jonah. He said, that's it. You're not going any farther. You're going to Nineveh.
Yes.
But it took Him getting him down to the, He says, from the belly of hell, cried I. That's His words in Jonah. Sometimes it takes us getting to the belly of hell. But God will let you go there. If you choose to rebel against Him, that's what can happen to you.
You're right.
You can be the one in that prayer saying, from the belly of hell cried I. But the important thing was that He finally cried. And so what I'm telling you is God loves us so much that He allows us to have a free will.
He would get no glory out of us loving Him out of obligation. Do you agree with that? How many in here want their children to love them out of obligation? I don't want my friends to love me out of obligation. I don't want nobody to love me out of obligation. I want people to love me because they want to love me. He demonstrated His love for us when He died at Calvary.
Yes.
And we're supposed to love Him because why? He first loved us, as we got to experience so well last Sunday. But that's what He did for us, was all in preparation. If there's anybody that's ever prepared, guess who it is? It's God. He's never surprised. What you're going through has never taken Him off guard. So God prepared a well. God prepared a well, but the whole time He was thinking of Calvary. That's hard to understand, ain't it? Hard to wrap your mind. It's hard for me. So God used Jonah to be a sign for these scribes and Pharisees and as a reminder for you and I. But what about 1 Peter chapter 1? I've already mentioned this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, or from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Mm-hmm. So from before the foundation of the world, He was preparing a way that my faith and my hope and your faith and your hope could be in Him.
Yep.
And that we could be reconciled to God through Him. Man alive, if anybody's prepared, it's God.
Hey.
I wish I could be as prepared as He is. But the truth is, we never are we? Everything that happens in our life is just about a surprise, ain't it? I'm surprised sometimes when I open my eyes in the morning.
Oh, yes.
Because I know I don't deserve it. You ever think, man, I'm surprised somebody was good to me today. Y'all may think I'm a nut. But these are thoughts that cross my mind. Now, I wish everybody was always good to me. And sometimes I get the mully grubs and feel bad because they're not. But the truth is, it's just a wonder anybody's ever good to me. Especially the Lord.
Praise God.
But He was prepared for me.
Hey.
He knew what He was getting when He got me. And He knew what He was getting when He got you.
Yep.
And He was prepared for you. That's why it took the best that He had. Amen. He had to prepare for us. There wasn't nothing else would do except for the best, for the worst.
Hey.
Took the best to fix the worst. And you and I are the worst.
Yep. That's right.
Took His best to fix the worst. And He did a real good job of it. And we ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. So He's prepared, and we ain't seen it yet. We just get some glimpses. So I praise the Lord, as I said the other day, that I'm not an afterthought. I'm going to go back to that Psalm chapter 139 and just read you another little snippet. Psalm 139, this is a wonderful passage. Verse 16 through 18 says, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." So you notice that. He was seeing us when we were not. "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand.
Yes.
When I awake, I am still with thee." Man, what a blessing to know that even though He was prepared for us and knew what we was going to be, that he still thinks on us like
That's right. Amen.
And as I've said over and over, nothing takes him by surprise. He knew what we were before we were ever formed in the womb. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Revelation 1:8, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." And then Revelation 22:13, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last."
Amen.
If you hadn't figured it out, nothing takes him by surprise. And he is prepared. Now, what's a blessing is that David didn't recognize just generally that God's prepared. He's always prepared. Man, he was preparing something specifically for him.
Yep.
And isn't it wonderful that sometimes, just every now and then, Kevin, sometimes I get a glimpse. And it's just like, Lord, you did that. You prepared that just, I know you did that just for me.
Yep.
Nobody else knew what you was doing. Nobody else even knew that I had interest or I had a need there. But you prepared that just for me. Lord, you took care of that just for me. Ain't that a blessing?
Oh, yes.
Praise the Lord. And if you've not noticed that, sometimes just step back and pay attention. At all the little things. Nathaniel, you remember them earplugs? Ain't that a blessing? Y'all think, what's he talking about? Well, you'd had to been here. Some earplugs. You think, was them for anybody else? They wasn't nothing for nobody else, were they? Do you think it was a coincidence when I was talking about the staff and the rod that down there in the ditch line, guess what my kids found that week when I was mowing the yard, that they picked up a club about this long and brought it to me? Some of you don't know that. You wasn't Nathaniel. I don't think you was in here at that time. When I was back talking about the staff and the rod, some of you remember that. That very week when I was supposed to start that verse, my kids found a club with a handle, a leather strap on it, a wooden one about that long. And Dad said, "Daddy, look what we just found." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord. I was wondering if this is for sure the direction you want me to go. I believe I'll just go." Now, am I looking for signs? Nope. I don't look for them. All I'm saying is, God can still do things. Man, it's getting quiet, but there's a lot of smiles on some faces in here. And you know why that is? It's because you can probably recognize times in your life, times of uncertainty, times of struggle, that you thought, Lord, you forgot about me. Or Lord, you don't know where I'm at right now. And God said, no, I was prepared for this moment long ago, and I'm just about to show it to you. What about a God like that? What about a shepherd? See, he's leading. He's out ahead of us. He's preparing the way for us. John chapter 14.
Yes.
Oh, my. He's going to prepare a place. Amen. Golly. I'm thankful for the preparation that God has made. Man. That's real good. Just real good. I appreciate the Lord, don't you?
Yep.
And just the fact that he'd think on you and think on me enough to go ahead of us and do some things just to let us know that he loves us and he cares for us. But you know, if he didn't do anything else,
right.
I mean, if he didn't do nothing, if we took, what is it, Matthew chapter 6 out of the Bible, where he tells us not to worry about anything, that he's going to feed us, he's going to take, if we just took that out, If we took every promise out of the Bible, Job, and all he left was Calvary. That was enough preparation.
Hey, you better believe it.
But he didn't stop there. Why did he not stop there? Do you ever think about these things? Do you ever think, Lord, you've already done enough? Why are you preparing more things? Why are you preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies? I deserve to die. Why are you doing anything for me? If we could ever get in our minds how good he really is to us. These walls couldn't contain us.
Right.
I mean, really, they couldn't. If we ever got to the point where we realized that the God of the universe loved us so much that he's preparing for us. And one of these days, we're going to be prepared for him. That's what 1 John says. We're going to be like him. We're going to see him as he is. God's doing a lot of preparation. A lot of preparation. Man alive, I don't know where we're at on time. 47? Oh, we're done. Man, I appreciate the presence of God. I appreciate his help. Folks, I don't deserve the Lord to show up like he does. And truth is, you don't either. And the fact that he would grace us with his presence, we ought to just be floored. You know it?
Yes.
So we'll have prayer. I appreciate everybody's good attention. So anybody that wants to pray before the service, we'll have prayer in one of the rooms. So we appreciate everybody's attention.